what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. My name is John Forward. I'm a comedian in St. John, New Brunswick. And I don't know how you're watching or listening to this, but broadcasting live on local 107.3 FM here in St. John. Every night at 9 o'clock on... Not every night, just Mondays. Yeah, there's a, if you are listening on the radio, that's very old fashioned of you. There are many other ways. You can stream it live on localfm.ca. That's purely audio. However, if you want to see my, my beautiful face and my Cheddar Goblin t-shirt, you can see the video at, it's on my personal Facebook page. If you don't see it, it means that you are restricted, so you will only see the bare minimum of public posts. John Forward Comedy on Facebook. That's a free-for-all, whoever wants to join that. And John Forward Comedy on YouTube. And the audio version will also get released on johnforward.podbean.com. There's no excuse not to listen to this. I'm saying to the people who are listening to it, of course, pass along the message. So things aren't actually going very well in the world. Trying to keep a chin up? Is that an expression? We're not. I don't know. I'm making it up. Chin up. Anyway, let's talk about nice things before we start complaining about the state of the world. I had a nice weekend. I went to see John Doerr at Punchlines on Friday, and it was quite a good show. I've seen John Doerr many a times on TV, so it was cool to see him live. This may have been his first show since the pandemic, or he may be exaggerating, but anyway, rusty as he may have been, it was still quite good. I was a little bit offended by one joke by one of the opening acts. I felt it was punching down to a minority group in society, and it was a joke about how dumb people that didn't get vaccinated are, which, you know, I find it offensive, not personally, because I've said I'm not amongst that that group of people, but I still have empathy for them. But as offensive to my sensibilities as the set or the bit, the chunk, if you may say, you know, it ruffled my feathers a little bit, but I still believe in free speech, and that person's allowed to say whatever they want. I don't have the right to not be offended, so that's fine. I just went home and forgot about it. That person, I think, maybe thought I was an anti-vaxxer. I didn't say anything. He seemed a little surprised that I was there. I might be reading into this, but I thought it was funny. Just, oh, hey. And then a little while later, kind of lean in and like, doesn't everybody in here need to be double vaccinated? And I was like, yep. Okay. And then that was the end of the interaction. Maybe they were just asking for the sake of, you know, setting up so that they can get into their unvaccinated people are stupid bit. Because, you know, you got to make sure that that everybody in the room is on your side before you do edgy material like that. But anyway, that was fine. I enjoyed myself. David Miles Holland Hall, a regular collaborator here on St. John Forward Radio. He had a really good set, some good laughs. I was proud of you, David. So keep it up. Go see David Miles Holland Hall if you get a chance. He's around. I went up to, on Saturday, went up to a friend's place in Moncton for a get-together, and we consumed some items. More discussion about that, specifically the party. Arif Hussein, one of my co-hosts on Four Story Walk Up, we just had a new episode last night. You can check that out for more details on the actual party. But my approach to going, I felt a bit like a grown-up, and it was nice. The original default was to, you know, hitch a ride with somebody else who was going up and, crash at the friend's place on the couch or spare room or whatever. But I just made a decision that, that all of that stuff, if you want to be a real bleeding heart and you want to save the environment, I guess it would be better if there were not multiple vehicles driving from St. John to Moncton on the same day for the same purpose. Crashing is a nice option. I appreciated the offer, but I'm nearly 40 years old and I have a decent job, and I've decided, I need to start cashing in all of this privilege that I have. I've got my own vehicle. I've got enough money to get myself there. I don't need to. It's again, I don't mind splitting sometimes, but it was nice to treat myself. I paid for my whole gas. I got myself a hotel room, rather than, even when I was in university, I was never really comfortable crashing on people's couches. I feel both like I'm imposing on them somehow, and it's never comfortable. Frankly, the pillow situation is very rarely up to my standards. The head pillow, I'm very particular. Sometimes I travel with my own pillow, just because I've gotten used to it. The hotel pillows are not always great, but there's enough of them that I can double up if needed. But I at home I've got a fancy, expensive pillow for the head, which I can do without. But I'm a body pillow. I sleep on my side. I like to be able to wrap my arms and my legs around this thing and straddle it. In a hotel, I know there will be at least four pillows, so one or two for the head. One in the teddy bear cuddle position, and one for between the knees, and that's how I roll. And it was nice. It was nice to be able to leave the house when I felt like it, not having to coordinate with anybody. I got there. I had big plans to this hotel had a gym. I was gonna go and like exercise for a bit before I went out. They had a pool. I did not partake in the pool or the gym. I didn't bring a bathing suit, which, I wasn't leaning very strongly towards swimming, but I had genuine plans to exercise, at least hit a treadmill or an exercise bike or something, but nope, lazy. I was going to have a fancy dinner alone at a swanky restaurant that was across the street from the hotel, but by the time I called them, I wouldn't have been able to get in until like 8 o'clock, and I wanted to be at my friend's house by then. So I got some sushi from, what was the place called? Masu Barbecue, I think, in Moncton. It was okay. It was serviceable. I walked both ways to my friend's house. It was like a 40-minute walk. I mean, I could have also treated myself to a cab ride, but given the consumables that were happening at the party, I figured I was going to be ambitious on the way home and I was going to want to walk. But Moncton is hobo central. So I kind of wanted to see the journey with a sober mind to see if I was going to be attacked. But it was not a bad part of town. So anyway, I probably could have taken a cab there at least. I enjoyed my walk home. I got to listen to some Lou Reed, and didn't get much sleep. I'm still a little bit sluggish, to be honest. One of my coworkers this morning was like, "Hey, is everything okay with you?" I'm like, "What?" Am I? So apparently I was in a bit of a mood today, so apologies for everybody. Anyway, let's take a break. So that was, and you know, I had my nice adult moment. I got back to the hotel room. I had all of the pillows all wrapped all around me. And, you know, I got up when I felt like it. I went downstairs for a mediocre breakfast that I prefer a self-serve buffet. I really don't like this COVID nonsense of having to tell the person what to slap on my plate. You know, I want to go through and have some eggs and throw some Cheerios on there and have a bagel and a Danish or something. But, you know, when I'm asking somebody else to fill up my plate, I have to be more reasonable. I did end up going to the fancy restaurant for a brunch. I got a nice smoked salmon Benedict, which I very much enjoyed. But, you know, I was going to get a fancy Wagyu steak. I've never had that before. I was going to just treat myself, but didn't make a reservation. But anyway, it was a nice brunch, and then I drove home. So let's take a quick musical break. This is something that I've missed not being on the radio. So on my way back to the hotel room after the party, I had a head full of nonsense, and I listened to a live album of Lou Reed from 1973. So let's play a track off that. Let's hear "I'm So Free," because this is not a very free time, but in that moment, walking with my headphones, listening to what I wanted, I felt free for a moment. It was a nice escape from the world. But anyway, Lou Reed on St. John Forward Radio.
Yes, I am Mother Nature's son, and I'm the only one. I do what I want and I want what I see. Could only happen to me. I'm so free. I'm so free. Saint Germain, I have come this way. Do you remember the shape I was in? I had horns and fins. I'm so free. Don't you know now, baby? I'm so free. Do you remember the silver walk? You used to shiver and I used to talk. Then we went down to Times Square, and ever since we've been hanging around there. I'm so free. I'm so free. Yes, I am Mother Nature's son, and I'm the only one. I do what I want and I want what I see. Could only happen to me. So free when I'm in the morning. I'm so free, feeling so good now. I'm so free, get it on it going. I'm so free when I have my mama. I'm so free, feeling real good now. I'm so free, here it come now. I'm so free, I'm so free, I'm so free, I'm so free, I'm so free.
we're back on St. John Forward Radio. That was Lou Reed off of a newly released live at Alice Tully Hall from January 27, 1973. The second show in particular, just in case you were wondering. So yeah, that was my my nice head full of nonsense walk home from the gathering to go go to my hotel room. So last week was the election. I had Brian Godso, my expert political correspondent, in here. There wasn't really much information. We've come through it, and I don't know. I don't want to talk about it, but I don't feel like it yet. It's depressing. So let's do another fun thing. Hopefully, I've got my excuse me, not COVID. Hopefully not. Book of questions. Found this, so broke this out for my interview with Nick Pereira. But this might be a fun little segment to fill some time when I don't have a guest. Speaking of which, if you're listening to this and you want to be a guest, that can be arranged. I like the dynamic of this show when I'm actually talking to somebody. I hate the dynamic of me having to ask people to be on the show. So if you have anything interesting to talk about, or if you just want to shoot the poop, hit me up and you can come on the show. If you're out of town, we can have you stream in. You know, I prefer to have that COVID on COVID interaction here in the studio, but we can make do with a remote guest with the current setup, I believe. I think so. We'll have to test it out. I don't know how it's going to work with the board communicating with the StreamYard when there's other stuff. I think it works. It should work the same with the intro. Anyway. So this has 291, you know, thought-provoking questions. So let's ask myself a question and see what happens. I got a random number generator. It's telling me number 65. Let's mark that off in the book so that I know I've done this before. September 27, 2021. We'll see. I love picking random things from books. It's my whole deal. All right, number 65. Also, I guess if you're watching live, if you want to comment on Facebook or YouTube, the comments should come up here if you've got your own answer to this question. It's very interactive. We can put it up on the screen. We can go back and forth like that if you want to. You don't want to have your beautiful face here on the screen. We can have you in text form. Question number 65. If a very close friend learned she had incurable cancer and only 6 months to live, this is very uplifting, would you withdraw or try to spend more time with her? Now, conscious use of the her pronoun. That's an interesting one. If a very close friend learned she had incurable cancer and only 6 months to live, would you withdraw or try to spend more time with her? It would, of course, depend on what she wanted. If my presence was comforting, no brainer. Definitely, I would want to spend more time. In theory, though. The reality is, well, and again, if they just didn't want to be bothered, this says that they're a close friend, though. So presumably it's somebody that that enjoys my company and I enjoy theirs. So I think by default, I would want to spend some time with them, you know, leaning towards what their preference is if they wanted to spend time. But you know, that would be tough. I've had some deaths in my family. My grandmother died a couple of years ago that I was pretty close with. That was probably, well, and my mom died when I was like 20. But and you know, there's been some comedy comrades that have passed away, unfortunately, over the past couple of years. Andrew Vaughn, most recently, Marty D. Before that, Lloyd Raven, who I only met once, but still. And again, these are people that I spent time with, and I like them all. I don't know if I would call them close friends. I don't think I had any of their personal phone numbers, and we didn't just hang out alone and chat. But a close friend would be somebody that you know, would be somebody that I normally hang out with and spend time with. So if I found out that person was dying, that would be very upsetting to everyone involved. And selfishly, I think I would want to spend the time with them. And you know, empathetically, if my presence was of some comfort, I would like to spend some time with my friend of who only has 6 months left. Now, the ugly reality is that would be my intention going in, but I would feel really bad about it. It would really depend on peer pressure and how other people would perceive this. If I was spending time with this person and it was just miserable, I might be tempted to withdraw a little bit. I'm not proud of that, but you know, I'm trying to be real with y'all. If I was spending time with this person and they were, I don't know what version of it, but if it was unpleasant, I would probably withdraw. I don't think I would withdraw completely. It would have to be a real bad time, and you know, a bad time on the scale of, you know, dying of cancer. So even a good time of dying on cancer is limited. I mean, the best time would be somebody that is just like, I've only got 6 months left, I need to live my life to the fullest, party on, that kind of thing. That would be the best interaction. I would love to be a part of that. Now if it's depressing, or this person is lashing out, I mean, depends on what level of comfort that I'm able to provide too. But really, if it was an unpleasant experience, I would probably drift away, and I'm not proud about that. But you know, even if you've got cancer, you need to be a good host. People need to want to be around you. So there's a follow-up question. If you found out that you had only 6 months to live, but wouldn't look ill until near the end, how long would you wait to tell family, friends, and acquaintances? That's a good question. So, if I found out that I only had 6 months to live, and nobody would be able to tell until right at the end, how long would I wait to tell family, friends, acquaintances? I feel like I would be screaming it from the rooftops. I would probably try to make it funny. It would definitely be a bit. I would definitely, as hilariously as possible, I would milk it for everything that it's worth. So I feel like, I don't know. That would be my impulse, but you know, the reality, being a sensitive person, close family, like my dad, my grandmother, sister, I'll give Allison a heads up. That would probably be, well, May also. I would consider May part of my family. Tachikoma the cat, he would know about it. They would be the first ones to find out, but I don't think there'd be a lot of time in between, you know, family, then close friends, then publicly and on stage and on the radio and on the podcast, acquaintances, as it comes up. If I'm not going to go out of my way to call somebody up that I haven't spoken to in 2 years and be like, hey, dude, guess what? I'm dying. I don't think I would do that. But, you know, I wouldn't try to hide it if I was talking to this person or interacting with them or anything like that. I wouldn't go out of my way to keep it a secret, but I wouldn't go out of my way to inform anybody. Yeah, so this is that's an interesting, like Norm MacDonald just died of cancer, and you know, the fans didn't know. I don't know if his family and friends and acquaintances how familiar they were, but that for him that felt like a baller move. Norm wasn't really big on the kind of what you would call navel-gazing comedy, which I'm gonna, that's probably where my territory is. I know Norm was not a fan of the kind of confessional talking about yourself type thing, which I definitely do a lot of. So Norm and I, as much as I love him, he's one of my favorite comedians, we don't do the same thing. And yeah, I'm not sure what Norm would have thought of my material, and it doesn't matter because I've never met him and he's dead now. So anyway, yeah, I feel like for me, if I knew somebody had 6 months to live, most of my decision as to how much time I'm spending around is really going to depend on them. If they want to be left alone, I'm going to leave them alone. If they really want me to be there, I'll be there. If it's somewhere in between those two extremes, it's going to depend on how unpleasant of a situation the whole thing is. If we're having fun, then I'll keep coming. If it's a slog, I'm going to probably space out those visits. For myself, though, close friends and close family, they're going to be the first ones to know. And then it'll be full-on screaming from the rooftops. So anyway, that's my approach to 6 months to live. Let's do another song just for fun. Actually, now is the time for a station ID, which there isn't really a good method for doing this. I used to play the clips off the computer. There's a way to do it, so it's just going to be a live read. You are listening to Local 107.3 FM in St. John, New Brunswick, also streaming on localfm.ca. Check it out. All kinds of programs and community voices and all that stuff. Check it out. For now, let's put the old radio playlist on shuffle and see what we get. This is the first song. I'm not sure if the shuffle worked. Let's hit skip. Dog Eat Dog by Tomahawk. Welcome back to St. John Forward Radio. We just heard some Tomahawk there. Anyway, again, hit me up in the comments if you've got a answer to the question of the week. If a close friend had 6 months to live, would you withdraw or spend more time with them? Also, if you found out you had 6 months to live, how long before you start telling friends, family, acquaintances? So anyway, let's get into the unpleasant business. We had an election last week, a federal election in Canada. I think they're still counting mail-in votes, but I don't expect anything is going to swing too far. Basically, we ended up with almost exactly the same thing that we had to start with. No big sea change. We still have a liberal minority government. I think they added one seat. I don't remember how the rest of the parties broke down, but everybody was within less than three different from what they had last time, which was a bit of a bummer. I mean, to me, I was surprised when Trudeau got reelected in 2019, because that was post blackface scandal. I figured that was going to hurt him a lot more than it did. And to be honest, you know, lots of people back then were talking about, oh, Trudeau is evil dictator, whatever. I mean, I never liked Trudeau, but he didn't seem any better or worse than anybody else. Just another politician as far as I was concerned. However, the past couple of years have been rough. And I don't know anybody who would call themselves a supporter of Justin Trudeau or the Liberal Party in general. I'm sure they're out there, and this isn't necessarily a conversation anybody is keen to have with me. But it's very, very weird that, I don't know, to have pretty much the exact same result as last time, to me, just seems to be a message that most people are like, yep, this is fine. And, you know, I'm picturing the meme with the dog in the kitchen that's on fire with his little coffee cup. I'm very disillusioned with the whole political process. I have been for quite a long time. As I've said on this show, I am an anarchist, and I don't believe in government solutions to any problem. I also don't think that the government is capable of solving any problems, but that's a whole other story. I'm just surprised how on board the average person is with everything that's been going down. And just to want more of the same is just very disappointing. No matter what end of the political spectrum you're on, this was an unexpected result. I don't know. I mean, part of it is the whole voting strategically thing, I think, plays a part here, where nobody votes, well, not nobody, but fewer people are willing to vote for the candidate that they actually want. There's this idea that that, you know, you have to vote for the lesser evil, I guess, that has a chance at winning. Which, you know, part of that has to do with the way that our elections are set up. They've been talking for years about a representational model where the number of seats is proportional to the total percentage of the popular vote. Again, as a not a fan of democracy, but if that's what we have, I think that would be a less bad version of it. So everybody could vote for who they wanted, and again, based on numbers, then I don't know. it's the whole thing is dumb. I mean, I've said it before. I don't think that my personal freedoms should be up for a vote. I don't care what everybody else wants. The only laws that should exist are don't steal things and don't hurt anybody. Pretty much. Everything else is fluff. So, I mean, as long as I'm not violating the non-aggression principle, you can look it up if you want to know what that is. It should be none of your GD business. But anyway, we live in a democracy. I understand the reality that I live in. It would be less bad if everybody got at least representation, and that's not what happened. If you look at the breakdown in the votes compared to the seats, it doesn't make any sense. It's all over the place. And it's really only the Liberal Party and the Conservative Party that are invested in the current system. The first past the post. So basically whoever gets the most votes in each riding, they get the seat. Everybody else, screw you. Doesn't mean anything. To a certain extent. I think there's some funding involved that's based on the percentage of the vote that you got. And I think next time there's an election, how many votes you got the previous time is some kind of a factor. I voted for the PPC party this week, as I said, with a lot of caveats. I mean, I don't like everything that they're on board for, but to me, this election was a referendum on COVID, and unfortunately, everybody loves tyranny. Apparently, that's very disappointing to me. They got 800,000 votes, which is I don't remember what percentage that is. It's a lot of people. It wasn't enough to win any individual seats, which is disappointing. They got more votes than the Green Party, and the Green Party had at least one seat. I don't know how many they have. I really should have this stuff up in front of me. So that's the PPC party that I've seen, as they post on Facebook and Twitter, they're taking it as a win because they kind of have to. And I mean, it is an impressive thing that that's way more votes than they got last time. I believe they've been saying that they're the fastest growing political party in Canadian history. I'm not sure exactly what the metric is, but I mean, they tripled, I think, how many votes they got compared to the previous election 2 years ago. Still no seats, which is a bit disappointing. Also very surprising. I thought that they were going to get I thought they were going to get some. I didn't know how many. I thought it was going to be more seats than anybody gave them credit for in the lead up, and I was dead wrong on that one. But again, it's disappointing. They are gaining momentum, and hopefully, I mean, there's not an election coming up, so there's not a lot of incentive for these people to be out shaking their sabers at things, but hopefully they are. And we'll see how genuine they care about your freedoms and all that stuff. If Nick Pereira and Maxime Bernier and all these other people, if they continue having rallies and pushing back on the COVID thing, that'll be a point in their favor. I don't have high hopes for it, but good on them if they do. Maybe I'll ask Nick if he wants to come have a follow up on the show sometime. But that's 800,000 people in this country that voted and don't have a single person in the government to raise their hand and say no when this stuff comes up. And that's very disappointing to me. I don't know how many seats that would work out to if we had a proportional thing. I think I really should have the numbers up in front of me. I think the Conservatives, I think they may have gotten the gap in vote. Did they get more votes? I'm thinking that the Conservative Party got more of the popular vote in total, but they got fewer seats. Or if that's not true, I'm not sure. You can look it up. The gap in votes wasn't as large as the gap in the seats. Or anyway, look at the numbers. I don't have them in front of me. I should probably have had that up, but it's not good. The NDP party, I assume they would benefit from having a proportional thing. Both, again, really should have these numbers up in front of me. I think they would have got, I think any, all of the non liberal or conservative parties, those two are the ones that are battling back and forth, and we just keep one until we get mad at it, and then we bring in the other one until we get mad at them, and it never ends. Neither of those two parties want to change it because it works in their favor. And even though Trudeau ran on it when at some point, but all of the lies and backflips that he's done, it's not a surprise. I'm not even going to bring it up. Like 6 months ago, he was saying, yeah, no vaccine passports. That's an unacceptable infringement on people's freedoms. And now I've got $1 billion to spend on any province that wants to do this. So all of the provinces are like, oh, I want some money. Please give me hundreds of millions of dollars so that we can make a QR code app and then just pocket the rest of the money. I guarantee you that's the reason why we've got these vaccine passports in New Brunswick. It does not, I don't know how much money is coming to the New Brunswick government to roll this thing out. It is going to be more than it costs to make an app, which probably won't even work right. So anyway, I'm disappointed in the whole thing. I was giving this a try. Normally, I don't participate in democracy because I have a moral objection to the whole thing. I feel like participating at all is me consenting to the whole thing and just saying, this is the person that I would prefer, but I'm cool with whatever we end up with. That's not true, but my other reason for not voting is that there's never a party that that represents me even closely, not even anywhere close. So the PPC party was against all the COVID regulations and are for free speech, which, as I've said before, that's two more things than anybody else has going for them. So I did opt to, for the lesser evil. I don't feel good or bad about it. I don't know. It didn't harm me, but anyway, I gave democracy a try and I was disappointed. And I don't know who's happy about this. It's very upsetting. And more importantly, it doesn't bode well that the situation is going to change. Very depressing. But anyway, if we had a proportional democracy, I think all of the other secondary parties besides the Liberals and the Conservatives would probably get more votes because everybody's vote would actually matter. You don't need to come in first place in your riding for your vote to mean anything. The thing that I find the most hilarious are the people that voted for the Liberal Party just to avoid having the big bad Conservative Party in power. At this point, they're basically the same thing. So the idea that in my head, I'm picturing somebody who, if they could pick their prime minister based on their vote, they would probably have chosen Jagmeet Singh. But these people voted for Justin Trudeau just to avoid Erin O'Toole, which, it's basically the same thing. So anyway, I find the whole thing disappointing. Record very low. I think I don't remember what the percentage was. Very low voter turnout. I think the lowest in quite some time. Which for me, I'll take that as a win for anarchy. I think the voter turnout was about 60%, give or take. So that's a 40% vote for none of the above, as far as I'm concerned. They don't count those votes, though. So even within the percentage of the votes that each of these parties got, they got that as a percentage of the 60% of eligible voters. So split up that 60% for all the parties, and nobody has a mandate to do anything, but they're going to continue behaving as if it is a dictatorship. All of this is crazy. Things are not going well. These are not the behaviors of people that are secure in their power, so I'm hoping that it's not sustainable and that people will eventually just... I don't know what's going on. But anyway, let's play another song and then let's talk local COVID things. What are we going to hear from on the old Spotify? Hit fast forward. Body count. Point the finger. St. John Forward Radio.
Poor little Johnny didn't live to see 16. Gun made his lung collapse. Buried the body of his brother the next week. Cops shot him twice in the back. Walked walking down the door. No questions asked.
Police, motherfucker.
Lies meet both on their feet. They open fire before he can speak. Wrong place, wrong time.
Stay out the streets is what they mama said.
Dead man, no crime.
Schoolboys, they never broke a law.
Anywhere, anytime.
They shoot first and ask questions last.
Could be yours, could be mine.
And then they point the finger at you.
Point the finger at you. Oh, what's yeah, happening
I did.
Here? No, you need to stop. That was another related song, a band called Don't Talk to the Cops. Anyway, that was just Body Count. So anyway, we're in a tyrannical nightmare here in New Brunswick. As of last Wednesday, they're requiring proof of vaccination to go to various places, which is gross. And pointless. I mean, you can still spread COVID if you have a vaccine. It's very weird. I was looking at the rules today. Having a negative test is not good enough. So even if you get tested an hour before you want to go to the restaurant, but you don't have a vaccine, so somebody who has COVID but has been vaccinated has currently an easier time getting into a restaurant than somebody that has tested negative for COVID that doesn't have a vaccine. It's all very weird. We've also brought back the mask mandate. I've only been to a couple of places. As I've talked about on the show, I was pretty non-compliant with the mask thing for a couple of months before we were allowed to, and most places did not say anything. Now that it's been brought back, people are probably going to be a little more stringent. Again, I've only been to like three places this week, and it's all been restaurants, so I've had my mask on just because they're more likely to just not let me in and I want to eat. So anyway, I'm not proud of myself. I just wanted to talk a little bit about just the language that people use when they're talking about this stuff. And I just want everybody to be aware of it. I was looking at, on Fridays when they decided that it was, it's an emergency again. So we're back to the 20 person bubble that there's impossible to enforce or keep track of. I was looking at the CBC roundup from Friday. There was a few weird things that I noticed in it. One thing that I'll notice is, and that you should keep an eye on, again, I'm not going to go pick through the article point by point. I have noticed a thing that they only use numbers when it suits the narrative. I mean, they, in Friday's update, they gave a very specific, I think they said like 87% of the people that are in the ICU are unvaccinated. That's a very specific number. And, you know, that is alarming. I do think that as far as we know, the vaccines make it less likely that you will have a bad version of COVID. So I don't disagree with that premise. I'm not going to be surprised if we find out down the road that it's not the case, but that number is a point for team get your vaccine. But I noticed, and I couldn't find the specific article, but I remember like a month ago, they wouldn't give numbers. They would just say, you know, a good number of these people are unvaccinated, or they might even say most, or they might say like double or triple. Like when they say that, whenever they use words like most or many or a number of, or if they say like a double or a triple, that's usually because the actual, like going from two to four is doubling. But if you say like increased by two, that doesn't really sound very impressive. So that's something I suggest you keep an eye out for. There is also a thing I saw in the article that big, bold, black letters, like, you know, CBC has to break up their articles for dumb people without an attention span. So they've got like sub headlines within the article. Churches in St. John demanding that they not be exempt from the vaccine thing. So I think churches don't have to ask people to show their papers. And you read it, and it's like, a number of United churches in St. John. So already from like headline to churches in St. John to a number of United churches, and they say a number. They don't say that number may be one. There's one person in particular who runs a United church that has decided to check people's papers. I suspect that this person is just pushing for everybody else to do it because there's probably a good chunk of his people in his church that say, this is crazy, I'm going to go to a different church. And that's what it is. That's what it is with... I would suspect that most businesses don't want to do this because there's no way that they're not losing business. Anybody that's like, yeah, maybe I'll swing in to do that, even if they have their papers, it's the slight inconvenience is going to turn off a lot of people. So, but no individual business wants to be the place that you're not allowed to go without showing your papers. So they want it to be kind of an across the board everybody thing. So that was odd. I was looking at today, and this really threw me through a loop. I'm having a really hard time getting a read on old Blaine Higgsy. They are now saying that you should only get tested if you're symptomatic, which you can, they've been saying all along that you can still spread it if you're asymptomatic. So, I mean, I'm glad that we're not getting like a huge number of cases that are people that don't even know that they're sick. But from their point of view, it doesn't make any sense to me. Apparently, they're getting lots of requests for people to provide fake vaccination documentation, and the CBC article says, hey, don't do that. But yeah, this whole idea, like, unless you have symptoms, don't bother getting tested. And they also said today, even if you have COVID, you don't necessarily need to self-isolate, which, I mean, we're at a point where somebody who tests negative for COVID can't go to a restaurant. But somebody who knows that they have COVID, if they are vaccinated, live life. It's very weird. We've also got this article going around of some dingbat talking into a microphone with his mask on. Expert says warnings about NB's COVID reopening plan were voiced and ignored. I mean, these people have been screeching about relaxing any rule anytime anybody's relaxed a rule anywhere. People were screeching about it in Texas and Florida, and it never really panned out. Then these people pop up when it happens to go the way that they predicted and be like, I told you so, everybody. Listen to the science. Anyway, I was going to play the follow the science stinger. But I don't know. This is all weird. But the one thing that I will say is keep an eye on the language that people are using to describe this. Scientific American, which I used to subscribe to, has had lots of bad takes this year. I read an article about how, yes, masks on kids in school are super important. In our very rigorous study, we found less than 1% transmission in schools that had everybody wearing masks. And then when they talk about the unmasked schools, they just give an anecdote about one place that had a big outbreak. I mean, if it was 1% transmission in the masked up places and 5% transmission in the unmasked places, that would be kind of an apples to apples thing. But they don't like using numbers if it doesn't suit their fancy. Anyway, St. John Forward Radio, Monday nights, 9 o'clock, local FM, Podbean, Facebook, YouTube, all of it. I don't know when I'm going to get cut off. Here's the outro.